Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Yo, as always, I want y'all to holler at me, so hit me up, 646-929-2037. Once again, I want to hear from you, so call number 646-929-2037. And, of course, I want you to email me if you don't feel the need or just can't get your fingers on the dial and you're a little too shy to call. You can always email me your thoughts, concerns, ideas to dick@smoothdrama.com. Once again, you can email me dick@smoothdrama.com, and I promise I will read your email or your homie's email or your homegirl's email. It's all the same. Also, because I say it every show, I feel the need to stalk you, and I don't feel right if you're not stalking me. I want you to text the word smooth drama to the number 41411. That way you can keep up with what we got going on here at Smooth Drama. Once again, so that we can get our mutual stalk on, you can text the word smooth drama to the number 41411. And, of course, we can all stalk each other. You can stalk me, and I can stalk you, and we'll be one happy family stalking each other, or however that is, whatever way you want to put it. And speaking, well, it's not naturally, not actually stalking, but it's kind of funny. As you may know, the First Lady, Michelle Obama, her and our president, they are in Indonesia, a place where he grew up as a child, which is a very oppressive Muslim country. Well, I won't say oppressive because I guess if that's the way you're used to living, maybe that's just, it's not oppression. It's more just a normal way of life where, you know, women aren't necessarily thought of as real people. They're just like accessories to be used whenever men deem fit. But it's not me saying it. I'm just saying that's just how they live. Anyway, Michelle Obama made it a point shake the hand of the Prime Minister there, Mr. Peter Tool. And you know I'm gonna mess this up, but I'm saying it anyway. People to Simbering, or however it is, I don't know. Doesn't really matter. She shook his hand. She made it a point to touch his hand. Why is that important? Because in Muslim countries, and this politician in particular, he brags. He openly talks about how it's he doesn't touch women. The only women that can touch him are the women who are his family members. Any other woman who aren't family members, Can't touch you. Never touch you. It's not happening. Because obviously they are beneath him. So I'm going to guess Michelle Obama being who she was like, I'm going to touch this idiot. I'm going to make it a point to touch this idiot. And so she did. She touched him. And now my man is in trouble. Because a woman touched him. He's going through all this criticism. He even came out and said, I tried to prevent being touched with my hand, but Mrs. Michelle held her hands too far towards me, so we touched. That is like the dumbest shit I have ever heard in my life, but it's just funny. I've never been privy to something where people work so hard not to touch women. I don't know. I guess that's the reason why we live here and they live there. I don't know if I could be down with that. I can't touch a woman's hand. Whew. And I'm bragging about it. Anyway, back on this side of the pond. Funny thing, speaking of girls, these teen girls who are facing charges, honor roll girls at that, at Yuba City High School, they're facing expulsion and criminal charges in connection with a streaking incident at a football game that was recorded and posted to YouTube. The funny thing is, and I've always wondered, why do people think that streaking is something, I mean, streaking at football games especially, that people think that's cool. Every time I've seen that, I've always thought that you are idiots. And most people think that you're an idiot also. But that's just me. Caller, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Dick. This is Teresa Knox.
Hey, Teresa. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine.
Well, it's a pleasure to finally talk to you.
it's a pleasure to finally speak with you also. Yeah, I was just talking about these teenage girls in Yuba City. I don't know if you heard about them. They went streaking, and I always wondered, why do people think streaking at football games, sporting events, is cool? Never understood that.
You're asking the wrong girl. I'm the opposite of an exhibitionist, so I don't know. I say more power to them, though. You got it flaunt it, right?
Yeah. Now, I know me and you talked online a little bit. You know, we talked about the vote no on Proposition 19 and how crazy it is that people actually voted no, although I didn't think it was that crazy because obviously, as I've stated before, all the people who are for it was probably home smoking.
Unfortunately, you may be right. They did report that the 18 to 25-year-olds were the largest non-turnout, if you will. So that's certainly a factor. Unfortunately, it kind of goes with the territory. And
yeah.
You gotta expect the jokes.
Now, I mean, and even then, you still got 46% of the vote. So you're looking at basically 5%. Going forward, what do you think you can do to get that extra 5% to vote, to show up, to register?
At this point, my biggest advice, you know, to everybody out there that's wondering what we're going to do next is that all these little groups that are all, you know, we're pro cannabis for this reason and we're pro cannabis for that reason. Maybe we're for medical but not for recreational, and maybe you're, you know, you want it regulated and taxed, maybe you want it legal, so you're not gonna vote for anything but that. And we all need to get together. We all need to stand united. We need to present an organized, you know, non-stoner front, and we need to, I think, you know, attack it at both levels. We need to simultaneously be hitting the feds, because obviously going state by state is going to be an extremely slow process. But at the same time, we also need to be going state by state, because people need to be re-educated with cannabis. And there's too much of that, you know, like I was saying, that don't walk the boat mentality. Like in California, it's decriminalized, and people are fine with that. It's a $100 fine, and they take your weed, but, man, that's it. You don't go to jail or anything. And it's great. Okay, that's a step forward. Yay, Cali. Yay, Schwarzenegger. But is that enough for you? It shouldn't be a $100 fine. You shouldn't be able to take my pot. You know?
Right.
So people need to get re-educated and reacquainted with what cannabis is, and then they need to get, you know, they need to get angry that their rights are being trampled on.
Well, I mean, that's my number one. That's my number one beef. I mean, I know that they're the people who are on the pot side. I'm behind it because it should be your right.
Exactly.
It should be your right. If you're not hurting anybody else, it should be your right. First and foremost, the fact that the government can tell me what I can do and what I can put into my body because they say so. But all the stuff that they give to us that damn near kills us, I think is ridiculous.
It is. It's wrong that they can tell us, you know, here's this possible cure for whatever may ail you, and it has, you know, very minimal side effects, and it's non-toxic, and long-term it's not going to kill you or put you on dialysis. But you can't have that. You know, we're not making enough money on that. We need you to take our chemical, pharmaceutical, approved prescription drugs so that you remain sick and keep feeding our machine.
Well, that's pretty much what it's about.
And then, well, and until people realize that all we are is dollar signs and you know, and really, like I said, just really get pissed. These are your rights that are being trampled on. This is your body. This is a plant that grows on the earth. You know, there's no right to tell you that you can't enjoy it. You can't use it medicinally. You can't use it spiritually. You can't have it as an alternative, you know, to industrial products that are ruining the environment.
Right.
That's our right.
And that's the other part, because like you said, well, in what I was agreeing with you earlier, we talk about your rights. And once again, what you want to take, you can't take, but what they want you to take, that's legal, even though the side effects are on a whole nother level. And that's why, that's what I wonder why people don't focus on that part, because practically it's unconstitutional.
Extremely. I mean, it's to the point, Dick, that people who are on Medicaid, at least in the state where I live, if you know, have these conditions, maybe fibromyalgia or chronic pain or something like that, and you're on Medicaid and you refuse to take, you know, the antidepressants and incredible strength painkillers that are the treatment for those types of things, you're considered non-compliant. You don't get government benefits. You can lose your Medicaid. You can't get, you know, Social Security benefits. That's wrong. That is, that's not okay. We shouldn't have to be forced into taking these things that have been proven to have detrimental effects on you. They're bad for you. They're bad for your babies, you know, if you take them while you're pregnant, some of them. But they're perfectly fine. They hand them out like candy. It's wrong, people.
Now, I agree with what you were saying earlier, all these different fragmented groups, because I think you're not going to be heard until you get to a point where you're sort of like a tea party. You know, everybody
something
talks
like
about
that.
Tea party, but I think in a sense they have it right, because they have issues and they vote in candidates who are embedded with them. And I think that's the only way you're going to be able to make something happen, where if you're a block of people and you have interest and you want your rights, if you want your rights, you got to put up candidates and people and support those people and make them work for you.
That's exactly it, you know, and one of my favorite things, the people that know me are probably sick to death of hearing about this right now, but my favorite thing to say to people right now is that while we're sitting here bickering about, you know, well, what we would have wanted to see on Prop 19 or what legalization measures we would like to see taken, we are effectively sitting here doing nothing, which pleases the government to no end because they don't have to deal with us. The only way we are going to get anything changed and anything accomplished is if we get together, like I said and you said, stand united, be strong, be one voice, and tell the government, as a majority, America wants cannabis. This is our choice. This is our country. This is how you change a law. You get the majority to say what they want. You know, they can't, they can threaten, Eric Holder can threaten everybody and say, you know, we're still going to prosecute you regardless of how you vote on this. And we can either roll over and let another constitutional right of ours be smashed, or we can say, no, that's what this country was founded on, and if my vote doesn't count, I may as well still be bound to a cream.
Right. Now, I got a solution. You know, I'd love to hear it. I'm saying that 2012, why don't one of y'all put yourselves on the ballot and run?
Holy Hannah.
You got enough members? You got enough members? Everybody votes? I mean, I look at it, if you have miles of marijuana in all these different states,
mm-hmm.
put a candidate up and you run.
You know, I sincerely hope the rest of the moms are listening right now because it's for the right person. Absolutely, that would be great. One of the issues that I can foresee is that as moms for marijuana, most of us are honest people who who don't have a lot of financial backing and aren't real good at lying to people and stepping on people to get where we want. So I don't know how far we'd make it in politics, but Dick, you're absolutely right. It's a great idea.
Well, I mean, the point is, because you come with a block of people. See, I mean, once again, is what you were saying, the government likes it when you do nothing. So I suggest that if you have your block of people, you have a lot of people who frequent your websites, you got a lot of members. I mean, you just organize and say, we running. And look, it maybe you win, maybe you don't. But the point is, like you said, y'all honest people. So at the least, you have candidates that you know that are beholden to you and your cause, and you put it out there. Hell, I mean, in that special election, how many votes did Schwarzenegger have here? About, I mean, it wasn't a lot.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't a lot. And so you got to look at it like, why not? I mean,
you know,
where did, I mean,
you're absolutely,
I mean,
right.
We got Tea Party. Shit, we got the coffee party. We got the rent is too damn high party. I mean, there's a lot of parties. Why not the moms and marijuana party?
You know, I kind of like it. Maybe I'll bring it up at our next gathering there. Because you know what? You're right. You've tossed the ball back in our court, and you know, we definitely have to be willing to do something, and we are. We're promoting. We're educating. You know, we've got other committees going on that have medical petitions going on in our states and everything. But
right.
But we do. We need to take it to the next level. And you know, I don't know that it'll be Moms for Marijuana that does that. But maybe it'll be somebody that hooked up with this cause through Moms for Marijuana. Maybe it'll be another group that we as Moms for Marijuana hook up with. But you know, you're right, going into it with, you know, an established fan base, so to speak, and an established voter base is a great way to do it. I hope somebody's listening that can do something on that scale.
Well, if you think about it, y'all already have the network. What? How much work do you have to do? You have the network. You have the group support. I mean, you know, as somebody that's affiliated with y'all in a sort of way, I see you posting. I see all the different groups that are affiliated with you and all the different thousands of members, and I'm going to guesstimate that y'all together, y'all probably have 100,000 voters strong.
It's entirely possible.
Right. Basically, it would be about registering, which you can do online.
Right.
5 seconds.
All
well,
right.
Not
well,
five, but maybe 35.
But you're right. You know, you're right. It's that easy. And you know, and then our obstacle, again, is the same one that Prop 19 faced. How do we get the 18 to 25 voters out there? And you know, that's our next obstacle. We got to get these people caring more about the future.
Oh, it's real simple. You just at a reggae concert. That's where they at.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
At a reggae
concert.
All you need at the reggae concert is a laptop. Register. Right here.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. you have effectively floored me here. I you're right, and I don't have any good argument as to why we don't do that. So, Sarah, if you're listening, expect a call from me later.
I'll say, as I told Sarah, all I want is I just want an invitation to the party when you have you have your first forum convention. I'm not
You'll
asking
be VIP
too much.
Front row.
All right, that's what I'm looking for, some VIP love.
Hell yeah.
Show me some VIP love.
You have the dubious distinction of being my very first interview on the subject. So, yeah, you'll always hold a dear place in my heart.
All right, well, I'm saying, I look at it like it's real simple. You have everything in place. Everything's in place.
And we're definitely learning a lot about laws and our rights in the Constitution in this process. That's one thing I will say is to negate that stoner stereotype is you're talking to somebody that I will say right now, this is the first year I have ever registered to vote. And I did not have a marijuana issue to vote on in Idaho, but I voted anyway. I educated myself on what I could. I didn't vote on things I didn't understand, so it was not to be irresponsible, but I did. This is the first year. I'm 35 years old, voted for my first time. And it's because I got involved in the marijuana cause. So, you know, I can say that to people. Get out there and break that damn stereotype. We are not lazy, ignorant stoners who don't care about our country. We are not stupid people who are too, you know, busy laughing at cartoons and eating cheese puffs to realize that our rights are being trampled and to get pissed and do something about it. Break the stereotype.
Hey, and that's your campaign slogan.
Yeah.
We are not
right,
lazy
right
people
there.
Eating cheese puffs. See, ready to go. I'll be, if you need a campaign manager, I'm with you.
Oh, I'm going to hold you to that.
All right. Like I said, I just want some VIP treatment. You know, I'll be the Karl Rove of the Monster Marijuana Party.
You got it. How about this? How about this? If Moms for Marijuana runs, you got to run as our second.
All right. I can do that.
We'll take you
I
as
can
our
do
mic.
That. No problem. I have no
we'll
problem with
done,
it.
Right?
Yeah, I don't think they want me in office, though.
What's that?
They would not want me in office.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Free thinking in office. That would, you know, what would we do then?
Yeah. Well, I want to say thank you, Teresa, for calling in.
Thanks for having me. This has been a total blast.
All right. Well, I thank you because obviously you could have been doing something. You could have been sitting at home smoking, eating cheese puffs, but you decided to give me a call.
Damn straight.
All right. You take care. And, hey, you know, we got some campaign strategy to talk over a little bit later.
All right. I'll email you.
All right.
Thanks, Dick. Have a great night.
You
Bye.
Too. Night, Teresa. All right. That was Miss Teresa Knox. Y'all look out. I'm be running for office. I'm be the non-mom for marijuana. I'm be on the platform. It's gonna be on. Dick for something. Anyway. On that note, we gonna take a song break. You know how I do. I'm hip hop, and I need the feeling right now, so I'm going to go to my man A-Prime out of the House of M. This is The Feeling.
Do you remember that feeling? Just how hip-hop used to make you feel, especially back then.
It was so real. It was like air.
You remember how you felt the first time you heard the bridge go?
Oh.
The first time?
Yeah.
I don't have that feeling anymore. Understand?
As the moonlight is glistening above a Lake Michigan, I'm sitting with my pen and pad trying to reminisce again. But this time I'm reflecting on the music and the reason why I love it and I gravitated to my journey started in my big mama's basement, freestyling with my cousin with the Bone Thugs tape. I zoned out, can't remember what I was saying, but it must have been great by the look on their faces. It gave me the feeling I can only describe as ascended to the sky on a natural high. At lunch table, cypher spitting it with some of my guys, listening to Biggie instrumentals, learning to write. I was a hooper, but I pushed the basketball to the side. Forget Mike, really, I was trying to be like Tribe, yeah. And since then, I've been hugging the mic. Hip hop is the love of my life. We about to take it to the top, y'all.
You know we do it for the love of music.
Yeah.
Something from my heart. Hello, Joe. Hello, Joe. And I know we
I listen video, but on radio waves. The wish kind of blind, that's the way it stays. So you can be the Viper, pick a pepper, and ho, hey, hey.
Nowadays, I got this to say.
See every other rapper do the same old thing. Microphone check, one, two, blank, blank. Claiming you a hustler, then elevate the game.
Yo, I used to love him, he was way too fresh. Not cause he was so hood or the way he dressed. He had a fat gold chain and some Adidas. Stayed hungry for the fame and the real success. Yeah, see, he would always seem to hold me down when them R&B niggas was out of town. He said, I need love, so we put it down. I'm here to resurrect the feeling of
this. You know we do it for the love of music.
Pop is still living. We carrying a torch and resurrecting the feeling. To the beats, to the rhymes, to the shows at the park, to the lunchroom table where the phone gets stuck. Come on, get in your stance, cause this pop is still living. We carrying a torch and resurrecting the feeling. To the beats, to the rhymes, to the shows at the park, to the lunchroom table where the phone gets sparked. It's like.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was A-Prime of the House of M and The Feeling. Some hot brothers there. Y'all should definitely be checking them out. The Feeling. I got The Feeling now. Anyway, speaking of The Feeling, in the UK, Lara Carter, who's a 25-year-old, she's come forward and admitted that because she's so desperate for a baby, she sleeps with strangers when she's most fertile and pokes holes in the condom. Now, the funny part is, I mean, you know, you don't even have to do that. You can come to the United States. There are plenty of men who will just get you pregnant and send you back. You, I mean, because she said that she's invested thousands of dollars in preparation for motherhood. She don't want to spend no money for a sperm donor. So she thinks that going to the bar is the best place to get a sperm donor. I don't know about that one. That's not really smart, Lara. I mean, you can come here. I mean, just trip to America. Remember Eddie Murphy coming to America? You can do that to find your perfect sperm donor. One night at the club, bam. Make sure you're pregnant and head on back to the UK. She says that she only needs a man to provide a sperm. I would have no interest in seeing him again. And that is why I'm a sperm hunter. Hey, right here in the USFA, there are plenty of dudes like, yo, you gonna have a baby and I ain't gotta have nothing to do with it? That's it? Lara, you don't even have to go through all that. Come to America. I mean, it'd be like the Caucasian version of coming to America. I'm sorry. I'm just saying. It makes sense to me. Anyway, speaking of coming to America, University of Arizona, they found out that they devised a way for holograms to appear in different places and update it in near real time. You know, sort of like, you know, we have the webcams, whatnot, and they're like a second, half a second, 2 seconds off, where you can see the images in someone's house on their computer, whatnot. University of Arizona team, they say they devised a system that can make a holographic display appear, which, can you imagine? I mean, we talk about webcam and all that other stuff. Now, you know, when you start doing the holographic images, in the projections in people's houses, you already know how that's going down. That's a 1-900 see my hologram. That's on a whole nother level. I know the best intentions is for it now, and obviously when you think about holographic technology, well, not really technology, when you think about Star Wars, Princess Leia, and all that other stuff, but you already know how it's going to go down here. If you don't know, think about it. Holographic, the technology for that, where you can just beam your image into your home, into your homie, lover, friend's house. Yeah. Think about that and how that sounds. You already know what's going to happen. It will be interesting to see. I mean, I talked about something that they had talked about introducing about a month ago, where they were talking about, you know, have the webcam capabilities through your TV. So you already know if they're going to be able to do that through the TV, and now they're talking about the holographic projections. Ah. All I can think is porn. I know. You don't think that it's going to go down like that. But think about where you at and how we do it. It's going to be porn all day, every day. Just sitting around. You know how you can get that text message? You're going to get that text holographic image. Hey, what's happening? It's going to be funny. Speaking of funny, now I was reading an article from one of my homies, my homie who I got to congratulate. I've been late on this, and I got to give him a shout-out. My homie, Jaja Malik Adenra, over there in Abu Dhabi, who just gave me some good news because, you know, we got to talk about some good stuff, that he's going to have, him and his wife are going to have twins. I want to say a heartfelt congratulations to my homie, Jaja Malik Adenra. Keep up the good work, homie. Because reading this article where he was talking about an African male's gene could be the key to natural immune. You can repeat this because I'm messing up. I'm all caught up in the whole loving moment, whatever. An African male's gene could be the key to a natural immunity against HIV. Now, and in his article, he states scientists recently discovered. And it goes on to talk about different amino acid proteins are the reason why some people are infected, can control the infection without medication. Now, I'm not going to go into the scientific reason, as some people will say, mumbo jumbo. I'm going to say, yeah, of course, the African male's gene could be the key. Isn't that who it was designed to kill in the first place? I know. Some people don't believe that. I kind of do. And I'm sure there's a few people that kind of believe that also. But, I mean, being that there's a lot of research showing that that was the early test subjects. And obviously, our government and different governments all over the world are not against this kind of testing. I mean, we've gone through the Tuskegee. We just apologized to a few other countries about experimenting on them. So it's not really a stretch for me to say, in light of what we've apologized for as a country and other countries have apologized for, to say, yeah, of course the key would be there because it was designed to kill you in the first place. So obviously you probably be, that test group would probably be the test group who would develop antibodies first, because as we all know, some people don't believe in that evolution thing, but nature finds a way. What you designed to kill can also, as we found out about other viruses and whatnot, some things that our natural immune system devises ways to kind of circumvent what's been put in to destroy. So, just something that's out there to think about. And speaking of thinking about something, I mean, for those of you who don't know, here in Bay Area, there was last week there was the liberation and the giving of a minimum 2-year sentence for the slaying of Oscar Grant. This sucker, Johannes Maserola, whatever the hell his name is, who he received that minimum 2-year sentence for slaying Oscar Grant. For those of you who don't remember the video of the guy who police had already had restrained, and whatever the hell is Johannes or whatever the hell his name is, said that he was pulling out his taser, but he couldn't tell the difference between his taser and his gun. And so instead of tasering the guy who was already, you know, subdued, he shot him. And he only got the minimum 2-year sentence. And the thing that alarmed the people in Oakland was because they actually went into a residential neighborhood and trashed a few residential neighborhood and some of the Oakland businesses and whatnot. Now, as far as rioting goes, I mean, I understand the people's anger. I mean, obviously, I was angered by it because it is too much of a disregard for life in general, but especially for Black life. You know, people think that, you know, and it goes in a societal thing where, remember, I've talked about the different people, whenever they want to say something bad happens to them, they blame a Black person. So when you see these officers, and it's sad because we become numb to it. We kind of expect this kind of bad shit to happen. And it's kind of got to stop. And there's no kind of to it. People need to understand. And I think we need to make people understand that, yo, we not the butt of your jokes. We shouldn't be the scapegoat for when you want to harm yourself or when you want to get away with murder or throwing acid in your damn face. And this is what brings this blatant disregard, also because we spend a lot of our time degrading ourselves and killing each other and destroying the community. That's what's got to stop. You know, if we want, and as I was saying earlier to Teresa, when I said that, you know, you want to do something, the solution is to make them take you seriously. That goes to the Black folks. If you want to be taken seriously, you got to stop killing each other over bullshit. You know, the hood is bad because we make it bad. We can say that there ain't no the job situation and the whole, you know, the ghetto and all that other shit. That's all excuses. That don't mean we got to kill each other. That don't mean we got to rob each other. That don't mean that we got to degrade each other. You know, you poor, you come together and work to build something. The hood is bad because 95% of the time we make it bad. That's what's got to stop. You know, nobody is making you as a community, us as a community, speaking in third person and in actual person. Nobody makes us shoot each other. There's no societal pressure that says, hey, you got to shoot that dude that look like you that live in your neighborhood. It's kind of immoral, which is the point. It's supposed to be all about love, peace, and understanding, and trying to come together and make things better in life. Can you dig it? I know it's cheesy, but I'm going to go into one of my favorite MC Lyte songs. Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
I got the charm and the wit of a pop hit, but I'm street. Don't drop it, just don't stop it. Don't you dare slip off the topic. That I got a one-track mind and it tracks all mine. The whole 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in the pocket. Pushing in the air a rocket, creating lots of light. Get it? How many different ways can I say it? Piano man, how many ways can you play it? I spell it out, the L-Y-T-E, without a doubt.
Got to be funky.
and it damn sure enough is. It gotta be like that in this rough biz of music. Baby, use it or lose it. What's funky is funky. You can't refuse it. I got a grip on the groove and it won't move an inch until I pinch this part.
Can you dig it?
Right on.
Right on. Can you dig it?
It's my style, love it or lump it. It's my beat, pass to the pump it. And it thumps like a heartbeat. And when it gets old, it won't get weak. It'll get stronger, much stronger. Long live the king, but the light lives longer. It's well argumented and well documented. I hold the title of the best, you can't prevent it. With a 10-foot pole, you can't hold me. Born to be wild is what a song once told me. Was my destiny, so I strive to be the best. Lo and behold, every rhyme I write, you got to chant them. Every song I sing, a national anthem. Is there a message in my music? If I can do it, you can do it.
Can you dig it?
Right on.
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 Can you dig it?
The L-Y-T-E has to make constantly. So in the advent of an event, I have to invent a dope style comment. I come off with flying colors. I keep my own identity compared to no others. It's hard to do, but I pull it through. Cause I'm like the MC, that's what I do. The body snatcher, yo, I got to catch ya. MC head up, bring on a batch of new ones so I can systematically do them. The old ones, huh, I already been through them. Two by two, I do them like Noah. Yes, you know the time, so let's go. The bottom line is I'm funk band. K-Rock and Master T, let's get down.
Right on.
Right on.
Can you dig it?
Right on.
Right on. Can you dig it?
Right on.
Can you dig it?
Right on.
Can you dig it?
Right on.
Can you dig it?
Right on.
Can you dig it?
Right on.
Can you dig it?
Right on.
Can you dig it?
Together you gotta be drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Big Hugger. That was MC Light, Can You Dig It, off her album. Whew. Act like you know. Do you know? I'm going to act like I know. I'm going to act like I know that people in Florida, I know, I haven't talked about Florida in a minute, but I kind of got to. It's one of them things. Old Master A songs, I got to. There was a teen in Florida. And sometimes you got to talk about stupid people because stupid people make the world go round. Not. This dude in Florida was arrested Sunday evening after deputies found a computer logged onto his MySpace account in a home that had been burglarized. And to remove the hurricane shutters from the door, and the caretaker who was taking care of the house saw someone sitting on the living room couch. A deputy arrived at the house, found no one inside, but they found the back window open, empty soda and food containers, marijuana on the coffee table, and they found a bedroom computer turned on and logged into a MySpace account for a Mr. Robert Rupp, 18, of Big Copic Key. They find his dumbass walking around in the neighborhood with screwdrivers in his pocket. Rupp told the deputy that he had been in the house because it was cold outside. See, these people, and I guess it's not something that's stuck on Florida, but it kind of is. Because who is smart enough to break into somebody's place? You know they're gone because the hurricane's there or whatnot. And then you get there and you log on to MySpace and you leave yourself logged on when you're breaking into a house. It's stupid. And so, of course, I got to talk about stupid people because stupid people don't make the world go around, but they make me laugh. And we got to talk about that so we know the difference between people that make no sense, like Mr. Rupp here, and people who do make sense. Although what doesn't make sense but does at the same time, down in Georgia, residents in Adamsville, Georgia, said that dead carcasses have been showing up at intersections around, I guess, the place called Fairburn Place and Atkins Road for more than a year. I guess there in that part of Georgia, they have a little problem with animal sacrifices, and they find beheaded chickens, turtles, goats, all kind of animals laying on the street. Yes, the latest one that was found was a headless goat. And they say it always happens around this time of year. Now, obviously for me, I know what it is this time of year because obviously we just had Halloween. Now, I know some people are a little oblivious to what Halloween really started off as. As some of us know, it's All Hallows Eve, and it was a witch's Morlock holiday, and they would make animal sacrifices, obviously. So, obviously, you have a coven of witches in your area down there in Georgia. It's Atlanta, Georgia, I guess, suburban. I'm thinking that you probably gonna have some headless ghosts next year too. Enjoy Halloween, our favorite holiday, right? A whole day dedicated to the devil. Yay! Anyway, oil traces in my neck of the woods. Well, not my neck of the woods, my old neck of the woods, where my heart always is. Down in the Gulf of Mexico, they're saying that they're finding oil traces in the Gulf food chain. Not that there's a shock there. It shouldn't be a shock. I mean, if you're shocked by that, then there's something wrong with you. And I guess they say, oh, it's no problem. It's just signatures of oil carbon have turned up in zooplankton animals such as fish larvae and microscopic crustaceans that form the base of the food chain. A Dr. Monty Graham, who is the lead author of the study that was published this week. Like, yeah, but they of course say, oh, it's no big deal. It's okay. You know, obviously plankton, which is, you know, that whole part of the food chain, which is eaten by crabs, mussels, oysters, and shrimp, which, of course, are eaten by the humans. No biggie, right? It's not really that important. And, of course, they're saying they're finding traces of Corexit, which I talked about a few months ago. Corexit is something that's very, very toxic to humans. Basically, Corexit, the handling instructions are, if it touches your skin, wash your skin immediately. And if you feel a burning sensation, go see a doctor. If it's ingested orally, go see a doctor. If you inhale it for too long, go see a doctor. And that's been found in the water also down there, which is not a shock because that's what BP used to clean, which has been previously stated before. So the people kind of don't forget that stuff is happening, and that is a part of what we're doing now, and it's gonna be apart for a while. So all your fish, your favorite crustaceans, crab, shrimp, all that is gonna be imbued with all that good toxic loving. So enjoy your seafood, Gulf area, America. It's good and toxic and tasty, or something like that. Speaking of toxic environments, Mumia Abu-Jamal, former Black Panther, who was convicted in 1981 of killing a Philadelphia police officer, who was a former radio host also, and a constant outspoken critic of the justice system. His case has been changed a little bit. They, in 2008, a federal appeals court ruled in Abu-Jamal's favor, saying that the jury instructions given at his trial were flawed, and the decision nullified Abu-Jamal's death sentence and granted him a new sentence hearing. Now, the death penalty has been imposed on him, and that was appealed in court earlier today, and I'm sure it's gonna go on. He's saying that, I mean, for those of you not in understanding of the case, he was accused of murder of Officer Daniel Faulkner in Philadelphia. Faulkner had pulled over Abu-Jamal's brother in a late-night traffic stop, and witnesses said that Abu-Jamal, who was nearby, ran over and shot the policeman in the back and in the head. And, of course, he says, "I didn't do it." And the witnesses say, of course, that he did, and this case has been going on and on and on. And, you know, there are some people who are saying that he is trying to use the color of his skin to get off, which is hilarious because, obviously, the black man, the color of his skin, is not going to get him off. Whereas, now, you know me, I try not to get into the whole racial politics. I think I don't, but I guess sometimes I do. There's the Hiccup Girl. The Hiccup Girl, who's from Florida, who was accused of murder, they now... the brain disorder may have contributed to the crime. She was diagnosed of this disorder in 2007 after her nonstop hiccups, you know, kind of got her into the public eye and whatnot for killing somebody. Now, what do the two cases have in common? I mean, you create a disorder for a killer on one end, but we don't go about the facts on another one. Now, we don't really know what happened with Mr. Abu-Jamal, but we kind of know what happened with the Hiccup Girl, Jennifer Mee. She killed people, and they say that she is a lower level intellectual functioning individual, which, in my eyes, well, common man's term means she is dumb. But this is what we talk about when we talk about politics. You always try to scapegoat and, as was said earlier, stereotype. You know, dangerous Black Panther, divisive person. Poor little innocent girl with Tourette syndrome who killed somebody. Can we stop it? Can we make some sense just once? On that note, I want to thank Ms. Teresa Knox for calling in. I want to thank you, the listeners, for listening. I'm Dick Hugger, Smooth Drama. We out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.